Can you guys hear me? All right, I'm on. I hit the right button for a change. See, that's why I don't work back there. I'm one of them guys, I get bored and I'm like, what does this do? Oops, sorry. So I stay away from electronics as much as possible. I always feel like I'm years behind. The angel of the church of Laodicea is basically saying to the leadership of Laodicea, or the pastor of Laodicea. And I can tell you right now, if I was the pastor of Laodicea, I would rip out my heart. I'd feel like I wasn't doing my job. I'd feel like I failed the people in the congregation. And unfortunately, the church of Laodicea represents the last church before the rapture. Interesting, huh? Let's go on and see what Jesus had to write. He says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one of or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shamefulness, your nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I'll give the right to sit with me on my Father's throne, just as victorious, and I sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Shall we pray? Father, I need you. This word, Father, it's consumed. My heart breaks for the church, Father. Just as I'm sure Jesus' heart breaks for the church. How far have we fallen, Father, that we got away from your precepts, your words, holiness and righteousness, Father. Forgive us, Father. Open our ears to hear and our eyes to see, Father. And give us a heart with compassion and love for you, for your word, and for the lost. Help me today, Father, deliver your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I knew I was going to need these. Yesterday, as I was pondering this word, I was underneath the scaffold and God was dealing with me. And I was crying to see where we've come as a church. See, I started this journey not to be a Christian, but to be a better man, to be a better husband, to be a better dad. A better example. And God led me here. But I realized this week that I need that cross more today than I needed it the day I was saved. I need Jesus more now than I did the day I repented. The churches that we see throughout the book of Revelations, there's an example of a timeline in history of where the church was and where it's going to. In other words, it's called the dispensation of interpretation. What it basically means is like a calendar. You start out in January. You get to February, March, April. Does that make sense? So the church age starts out, and the first church that represents that time would be the church of Ephesus. Represents the church of the first century. An unloving church, an orthodox church, a church that says, do right or you're going to hell with no love in it. See, you can be at home and still be an absent dad. by being on your video game and not investing in your kids' lives. You can be an absent mom by being on Facebook and not helping your child. We're neglecting our wives. We're neglecting our husbands. For what? The unloving church represented here was the first century. Jesus says, hey, you forgot your first love. Where am I at? And the church today, I'm asking us, where are we at with our relationship with Jesus Christ? Is Facebook and Twitter and video games more important than investing in our children, than investing our time with God, to being in church, to seeking holiness and righteousness, getting before the cross and dropping on our knees and say, Father, forgive me for failing? I felt that way for 2 weeks, saying, Dwayne, you better do a better job. I got to look in the mirror. I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better example. I need to be better at teaching the word. I need to be better at spending time with Jesus. That's eternal, not that stupid video game. I look at the church and I shake my head and I'm like, where have we fallen with the people I talk around that are supposed to be Christians or Catholic? Horrible, the things I'm hearing out of people's mouth. Horrible. The unloving church. The instruction, the criticism. Jesus said, you left your first love. Instruction, do your first works. Get back to the cross. Get back on your knees. Get back in prayer. Focus in. Spend time with your family. Not on that game. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. When I became a man, I put away foolish things. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the main causes I see in the church for divorce is video games. I'm shocked, but it's true. I just talked to a mom. The husband came home, her son, and said, the wife said, I'm done. I can't do this no more. Mom says, well, you know, you can't blame him. He suffers from depression. So you're going to accept it? Well, that's why he's got to smoke pot. That's acceptable in the church because the law says you can smoke dope. You're an example to your children, and we become poor at it. You think it's funny to smoke dope? Tell me that when you're by your son in the bed when he's got an IV in his arm and he overdosed. You're the example of your household. You're the example of the church. And we've blown it. I've blown it. Where's our example? When I talked to the guy at work, he said, well, I'm a Catholic. My girlfriend, she's a staunch Catholic. Her whole family's Catholic. We're living together and we're going to get married. That's your example? If I wore a backwards collar, I cannot forgive your sins. If I put in a vestment, it doesn't make me righteous. It doesn't. I'm not righteous in this flesh. I'm only righteous because of the blood of Christ. And I want God to say to me one day, well done, good and faithful servants. My kids never understood why I started walking down the path of Christianity. They were too young. One was 3, one was 1. And I ended up with 5 of them. And I told myself, I got to be a better example for my kids. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you smoke, the odds are they're going to smoke. If you drink, the odds are they're going to drink. If you do drugs, they're going to say that's acceptable. And it's not in the church of God. It never has been. God says, I've called you to a higher standard. You are called to holiness. Where's the holiness in the church where half the people live together in church and they say, I'm forgiven? Where's the holiness? Hey, God dealt with this word to me way before he's dealing with it to you. I bawled.
And I had to tell him, forgive me. I got to be a better example for the lost on the job site, for my wife, my grandbabies, my kids. See, I don't want to spend my life with my kids. I want to spend eternity with my kids. 50 years isn't long enough. 60 years, 100 years, eternity is. So I started this walk not because I wanted to be some religious freak. I started this walk so I could be a better person. And every one of us should be a better person. And I'm going to tell you, it's time to stop playing games. Put the video up. Put the cell phones down. Get rid of Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and all the other stupid stuff they have out there. And I'm sorry to say, you know, I'm bad because I like to shop. You know, so I'll go on Marketplace and all that, and I need to put it down. I need to invest more time in my household, with the grandbabies, and my kids. Somewhere we lost the sight of him dying on that cross. We missed it. We missed the mark. We pushed the mark aside and said, we don't need holiness no more. We got the blood. And Jesus told the church of Laodicea, you're wretched, you're naked, you're poor, you're blind. You missed my mark. And I hate to tell you, that's the church age before the second coming of Christ. That's the church age we are in today. When I see a young reporter go up to a minister and say, can I ask you a question? Oh, yeah, you may ask me a question, young lady. Why do you have airplanes? I got to have airplanes to minister. Do you have to have three of them? Because I am blessed, it's okay. Really? Or another guy writing a book that said, become a better you. You want to be a better you? Pick up your word. Pick up your word, read your word. This is how I became a better me, was spending time with Jesus. That's how I became a better man. It's how I learned to love because I did not know how to love. It's how I learned to respect my wife because I did not know how to respect my wife. It's how I stayed away from alcohol and drugs and tobacco and all that stuff out there. But when I was 18, I tell you what I did. I quit playing video games. I did. I thought it was childish and it was time for me to move on. But today, I couldn't believe I'd buy a gift card for my grandson. I'd take him in so he can buy him a video game. And I see adults, and they're older than me, buying video games for themselves. And you're wondering why the lack of family and divorce is high in America? Technology has choked us out. It took us away from our prayer life, seeking God, reading our word, fellowshipping. Wednesday night we have service. It should be full, but we're busy being under Satan's yoke. Where have we fallen? Smyrna. This was the 2nd century to the 4th century, which was the time of Constantine. Gracefully bears suffering. Jesus said, be faithful unto death. Jesus says, hey, stay focused. You're doing good. He goes, I know your problems. He knows our problems. He knows everything we do when the light's on, with the light's off, when we're by ourselves or we're in the crowd. He knows. He's not up there bored waiting to come back. He sees. Man, Smyrna, what a precious, precious church, and it reminds me of China today. Recently, I seen an article with people in China. You know, they're suffering, getting persecuted every day for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's bad. They're dying. They're raped. They're beat. They're tortured. And one of them went back and they told the church, do not pray that we get out of persecution. Pray we can endure persecution. Because through that, the gospel is being preached. And then I see a minister, lives in a big house, lots of money, and he's overlooking China, and he goes, I'm going to pray for China. Why don't you get involved with China? Appalling. I've seen a lady lead worship.
Boy, that woman could get it too. And she was worshiping God with everything she had. And I looked up on stage and there was all these ministers there, too dignified to do anything. Then one decided he might raise his hand a little bit. When the people in the audience were being touched and crying, dropping to their knees and worshiping God. And the leadership sits there and says, ooh, check me out. I don't want to get my clothes dirty. Is that where we got into the church? Well, it's more important to have money than example. See, if you're working 80 hours a week saying, well, I'm supporting my family, you're still an absentee dad. The best thing you can do to your kids is invest in them. To love their mom. To be an example. Oh, the Church of Pergamos. 4th through the 7th century. They keep the faith. Oh, Jesus said, man, you're keeping the faith. But he goes, problem is you're tolerating sin and heresy. Repent! You're tolerating sin. Well, a little pornography isn't bad. A little drink isn't bad. Going bar hard and chasing women isn't bad. You're tolerating sin. So get the sin out. That's what he said. That's what it meant with the yeast. It was get it out of there. Get it out of your life. Be that example we need. The church needs. Thyatira, Church of the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages. They had love. They were servants. They had faith and patience. But the criticism, they tolerated cult practices and immorality. Judgment coming. Jesus says, judgment's coming. Keep the faith. Cult practices. Did you guys know drugs are a big part of cult practices? And we do drugs in America and we think it's okay. When I had my surgery, I couldn't believe what the doctors offered me. You want some codeine, Oxycontin? What do you want? I said, give me some 800 milligrams of Motrin. I'll be okay. No, you're going to be in a lot of pain. I said, I'll make the pain okay. Just give me 800 milligram Motrin. They wouldn't give me Motrin, but they'd give me Oxycontin. All I had to do was say yes. Really? Unfortunately, too many people get hooked on prescription, but I can tell you who can take you off that prescription drug. I can tell you who can help clean you up. I can tell you who can remove the drugs, the alcohol, the video games out of your life. Pick up your Bible and spend a little more time reading. Pick it up. I am appalled at how many people I go up and try to share the word of God with. I'm a Christian. They can't even tell me what the book of John says. Call yourself a Christian? How much time do we spend with God a day? How many times do we spend on the internet a day? Prayer? Video games. You want to see the problem in the church? I have to look in the mirror. Then I see the problem with the church. It starts with me. Dwayne. It starts with me when I look at it. I'm like, boy, God, I need to spend more time on my knees, more time in prayer, more time sharing this word. While I'm on the job, I find myself trying to uplift and strengthen other believers more than I do witnessing. So you can be a light. You can. They like we're encouraged the way you walk around, the way you talk, the way you handle yourself. You can do the same thing. Be that example. I'm so afraid if I do something bad, I'll be a lousy example. That bothers me. I want the people at work to look at me and say, there's a man of God, even when I fail. That's what I want. I want my wife to look at me. And be happy with her husband. My kids to know me, to have a relationship. For my grandkids, I told my wife, we only got such a short time to pour into them. Let's pour into them love, the word of God, and Jesus. Let's pour that into them, not video games and drugs and alcohol. If you're a smoker, your kids are 10 times likely more to smoke. I hate to tell you this. It's a fact. Same with drinking, drugs. Where have we fallen, Lord? Forgive us. Sardis, church just prior to the Protestant Reformation. Okay, that's between Martin Luther, be right before Martin Luther. Some had kept the faith. They are dead, Jesus said. See, I believe you'll find a lot of these people in every church. But some, they're keeping the faith. They're fighting the good fight. They're doing the best they can. They're seeking God. But the church in the whole is dead. He said, repent, strengthen what remains. Get back to me. Jesus wasn't playing when he entered that cross. It wasn't a game. He didn't say, let me take off my righteousness and then go up there. He said, I'm going to give it my all. God says, I'm going to give you my best. I'm going to give you perfection. I'm going to give you an example. Learn from it. Have we? Have we learned from it? Philadelphia represents the church through the ages, the true worshipers. They persevere in the faith. They keep the word of Christ. They honor his name. They believe in holiness. They believe in striving to be the best they can in Jesus. Oh. Jesus had no criticism for him. He said, good job. Continue. Continue. And that could be you. You could be fighting the good faith. But I think we all can do better. I know I can. 3:30 this morning, he woke me up and I was studying this stuff. I'm telling you, these churches hit home. They hit home. When I meet people all together, I'm a Christian, brother. Yeah, me and my girlfriend been living together 13 years. It's called sin. But, brother, you don't understand. That pot, oh, yeah, that's legal now. Not in God's eyes. Doesn't matter what the world accepts. Jesus does not accept it. It is not acceptable. It's appalling to him. Do you know when I studied for Wednesday nights, we're doing Exodus. We're in the Ten Commandments. And I learned a lot when it says to take the Lord's name in vain. I was shocked what it really meant. It wasn't only using it foully. It's being a bad representation of Christ and calling yourself a Christian. Did you know that? He rebuked him, Malachi, the priest, for shortchanging the people. He said, hey, you're saying you're one of mine. He goes, you're using my name in vain. When we attack God's character, it's using his name in vain. If you call yourself a Christian, he wants you to be a Christian. He wants you to act like a Christian. I was shocked when I studied it. Study it. It was all over there. God said, vain is my whole being. I'm perfect. And I'm like, God, I need to be a better representation of you. I don't want God to look at me and say, Dwayne, you carried my name in vain. You called yourself a man of God. You called yourself a Christian. And look how you walked. Wow. You know, I just thought it was words coming out of your mouth. Oh, church in Laodicea. Sound like they were a prosperity preaching, you know? So we're rich, we're doing good. Look at my boots, I'm shiny. I got a fancy Bible, I'm going to church. I even got me one of these things called the cross. See that? I call it my Mr. T starter kit. Okay, it isn't gold. But this doesn't save me. I might look the part. I can act the part. But am I a Christian? Am I walking in Christ's likeness? That's what it means to be a Christian. And this ain't valuable to most. It was my dad's. My mom gave it to me when he passed away. But it does not make me a Christian, whether I put it around my neck or not. This vest, these shoes, they don't make me a Christian. Car I drive, living in the Broadmoor, for a living on Constitution Hills. Doesn't make me a Christian. Having 5 cars doesn't make me a Christian. A bigger house. The things we got to strive for is not material things, but the accepting of Jesus Christ. So when we meet him face to face, he'd say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How would you like Jesus to say, "Yeah, it was nausea in my mouth"? If I was this pastor, I think I would have fell on my knee and bawled for weeks. And I'd have went in the church and said, "We have failed greatly. We have failed." Name it, claim it. Can't lose my salvation, brother. I can sin. It doesn't matter. See, it's all about the three stooges. Me, myself, and I. It's what I want. Three stooges. It's not about what Dwayne wants. About what he wants. He didn't die on the cross, folks, to leave us in the slime. Come on. And if you're living with somebody, repent. Put a ring on their hand. How hard's that? Make a commitment. Come on, honestly. That's acceptable? It's not. It's not acceptable in God's eyes. As I was reading through Laodicea, and it breaking my heart and all the other churches, it reminded me of this passage in Mark chapter 10. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus firstly rebuked him, said, "No man is good." Jesus was good. But he said, "Your first assumption is right, is wrong. Nobody is good. There ain't a man out there that is good." So Jesus said, "Let's just get that out of the way. No man is good." He was perfect. He wasn't talking about himself. But he didn't look at Jesus as God. He looked at him as a good teacher. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Jesus was God. "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Man, let me tell you a couple areas I see the church really struggling in the Ten Commandments. One's forgiveness. And that's Jesus saying forgive others. Anytime Jesus spoke, it was a commandment. It wasn't a suggestion. When Jesus said forgive, or "I will not forgive you," kind of a tough statement. I'm going to tell you, you're carrying chains that he does not want you to carry. You're going to have to come before him and forgive. And the other one I see the church really lacking on, honor their mother and father. Do you know how many Christians, or let me back that up, people that call themselves Christian, I'm not judging them. I'm just saying I want to see an example. That say, "I don't talk to my mom and dad. I had a lousy childhood. Didn't like either of them." When I read honor your mother and father, I've never read if they deserved it. Does it say if you think you should give it? If they were good? If they're great? No, it says honor your mother and father, period. You know, I had to do some forgiving in that area too. My mom was an abusive, violent alcoholic. I love my mom. It wasn't easy, but it was easier to forgive than hang on to that. These are the stuff people in the church tell me. Brother, smoking a little dope doesn't really matter. Really? You know, getting drunk with your friends, it's not bad. I actually had a guy once tell me. I was introduced to him on the job site. And the guy comes up. He goes, "Dwayne, I want to introduce this Christian brother to you." I said, "Sure." So I came up, and he shook my hand. He goes, "God bless you, my brother." And I shook his hand. He goes, "You know what I love about you more than anything?" I goes, "What's that?" He goes, "You can't judge me." And he walked away. And I was like, wow, what a salutation.
Never had one on like that before. So I didn't know what was going on, and I'm thinking, well, why would he tell me? I couldn't judge him. Can I tell you, judgment starts in the house of God? God is going to judge me from every word I speak up here. What did I tell him? I want to give a soft message. I didn't want to hurt their feelings. God doesn't deal with Dwayne that way. You know, God deals with me, it's direct. He doesn't soften it for me. He doesn't. When I hear from God, he lets me know. You know why? Because it cost him everything. Cost him everything. Then he goes on. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. I'm good. I got the Ten Commandments down. I'm good. Oh, Jesus said, boy, you're lacking. He said, you're lacking. Oh, Jesus looked at him with love. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. It's a heart thing, not a money thing. If you're asking God to rise your bank account, you're in this for the wrong reason. Why don't you ask God to straighten out your heart first? It's a heart thing. When I gave my heart to the Lord, that's all it took. You know, I remember back when I couldn't turn on the lights in my apartment. They were out. Couldn't pay the bill. I remember when the repo man knocked on the door and said, I need your car. I feel like sometimes I was closer to God going through that than I am now. Why? Why? He still moves in my life. He still talks to me. But I think I need to pray a little harder then. Seek him a little more earnestly then. And I think that's what we got to get back to. We got to start taking what he did seriously for our family. Be an example to your family by living a godly, holy life. Be an example. Take that cell phone. I lost mine today. I hope I don't find it. I'm sure my wife wants me to find it. I'm tired of that thing. I'm tired of going in every room and seeing every kid doing this. You're absent if you're on that phone. I asked a bunch of kids one day, I go, are you guys going to all hang out and stare at your phone? They go, yeah. At least you're honest. I go, I don't need to text Luke because Luke right there. How you doing, my brother? I don't need a text, Luke. He's right there. See, Laodicea had its own baking center. This was the town. This is like New York City compared to the other ones. Other ones were wealthy, but Laodicea was it. Wealthy city. They had it all. A banking center, garments of glossy black wool. Even they had eye medicine, the first eye medicine. What they really needed was the grace that regenerates the garments of righteousness. I think I'm going to say that again because I don't think you guys heard that. But what they really needed was the grace that regenerates the garments of righteousness. That's what they needed. Wealthy town. I don't know if they had a chariot or two. I don't know how they got around, but I tell you what, they could eat in the finest places. Is that our goal? You know, what always blessed me about watching Jesus, he didn't go to the rich. Guys with all the knowledge. He went on the street. He went to the leopards and the prostitutes, and he loved them. Who are we loving on? The ones that love us back? Maybe it's time for us to love on the ones that don't love us. Never seen Jesus just go into a palace. Gosh, have we blown it? See, in Psalms 12:6, it says,
And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified is in crucible, like gold refined seven times. The word of the Lord is the gold we need. 1 Peter 1:7. These have come so they have proven genuineness of your faith. Of greater worth than gold is your faith, which perishes even though refined by fire. But may your faith result in the praise and glory and honor in Jesus Christ is revealed. That's the riches God wants. Not that you have gold. The riches of having the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the knowledge and relationship with him. That's the gold Jesus wants you to have. In Revelation 19:8 it says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. That's how he wants you to be dressed. God doesn't care what's in my closet, what car I drive. God's not impressed. And if we're out to impress man, we have fallen short. And like I said, I'm preaching to the choir here because I'm preaching to me too. I was kind of upset for a while that I watched all these young kids get promoted. And it bothered me. First of all, they didn't have near the knowledge I did. They didn't know how to run crews. And I watched them promote. And then my wife said, does it bother you? I go, sometimes. Because I know that promotion comes from above. And then this week, or 2 weeks ago, I get a phone call said, they're talking about jumping you up two positions as superintendent. Made me feel good as a person. But then I started thinking real hard about it. I was like, yeah, I don't think I want that position. See, I don't want to work more. I want to minister more. I want to grow in Jesus more. So I was like, yeah, that's probably a pretty good pay raise. But honestly, I don't need the money. I don't have no more room for any more cards anyways. You know, it really, really, really doesn't matter. So my prayer was, Father, not for you. I dang sure don't want it. If it'll draw me away from you, I want nothing to do with it. If I can't exalt you in the position, do not give it to me. I'd rather hang out with the guys on the job. Ephesians 1:8, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what God wants your eyes to be, enlightened, not wretched and blind, not naked. He wants you to be enlightened. How do we get enlightened? It's not that hard. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. But what shakes me up the most is when he talks to the Laodicean church at the end. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to let me in or are you going to play church? Why is he knocking? Apparently he wasn't allowed in. I'm not talking the building. I'm talking the door of my heart. Jesus goes, I'm knocking. I'm asking. Let me in. What a rebuke. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. And he with me. It's an invitation. He says, come on, let me in. He's talking to a church here. Church of the last ages, the one before he comes. Church in America today. It's appalling. How do we close the door on him? Without Christ, there is no hope, no church, no nothing. But we started doing this religious stuff. Have you noticed that most of the old churches are dropping off? It's what happens when you don't let the Holy Spirit in. We got to let Him in our hearts. We got to, Jesus, fill me. Fill me to overflowing. Forgive me my sins. How come when we pray that God will change our spouse? Why don't we pray that God would change us? I can promise you, when I'm in prayer, God ain't dealing with my spouse. He's dealing with Dwayne. I hear it all the time. Yeah, I'm praying God will change my spouse. Maybe God's trying to save you. Well, I'm already saved. Maybe it's your righteousness He's trying to save you from. I hate to tell you this. He said, my righteousness is as filthy rags. Horrible. Disgusting to look at. When you pray for your spouse, pray that God would uplift her or him. And you help have him give you a heart to love them unconditionally. I think in 1 Peter it says, a gentle and quiet spirit is of a great worth to the Lord. But we want to yell, scream, and holler in our homes and let our kids see it. We want to sneak around the corner like we can hide our sin. God sees it. We're wondering how we're going to leave this world and our kids by your example. If you're a man of God, be a man of God. Isaiah 55 is an invitation of abundant life. Interesting. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone who thirsts comes to water. Not that wretched stuff that poured into Laodicea. The water had to travel like 4 miles. It had so much minerals in it. Not only was it lukewarm, it tasted bad. Jesus said, hey, I got the spirit of life here. He goes, come on. He said, hey, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in its abundance. Incline your ears and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Money. The one thing that always amazed me about King David was that every time he conquered someone, he said he the golden treasures he put in the house of the Lord. Because money wasn't important to David. Seemed to be in Solomon. He built him a huge palace. David was a man after God's own heart because he knew how to worship, he knew how to repent, and he knew what was important. And it wasn't his checkbook. Folks, we got to get back to family. We got to get back to loving one another. We got to be better at being the example. Not saying, hey, I'm living with her. Shh, don't tell nobody. It's okay. God knows. And it's not acceptable. Or, yeah, I get drunk. But that's all right. God knows. It's not acceptable. Somewhere's the church has accepted sin that it's okay, and God said it is not. Church of Laodicea failed. They were a poor example. And Jesus said, repent. Do your first works. I think we need to get back to God. First works was saying, Christ, come live with me. Maybe we need to get on our knees and say, Christ, forgive me. Come back and live with me. Repent. Means to change your mind, turn around, go the other direction. There's things this week I had to repent of. I'm like, whoa. I lied. 2 weeks ago, I lied at work. Stupid lie. Made no sense. But I didn't want to argue with the boss, and we have these little pamphlets called a PSP, Personal Safety Protection. And you fill it out. He goes, did you fill it out? And I go, yeah. I didn't fill it out. I had no intention to. It tore out my heart. It broke me. Thought I was going to call Tracy and say, I can't preach because I ain't a man of God. That's how hard it hit home. It's not acceptable to God. And I had to repent. I didn't know how to tell Tracy, I can't preach. I watch you and Kelly faithful here. When's the last time did you tell some of the leadership here, thank you? I mean, I pray for Tracy and Kelly all the time and Jim and Kathy. Their faithfulness blesses me. And I was like, how am I going to let Tracy down? So I got to stand before those people. My righteousness is filthy rags because I lied. No, I didn't kill nobody. Still sin. It's bothered me for 2 weeks. I ask God to forgive me of it. That's how he sees it, as filthy rags. It's time to quit playing stupid games and get back to the family. It's time to quit playing church and get involved. Get on your knees and pray. Be that man of God, that woman of God that God has called us to be. It's time for us to get back to holiness and righteousness. You're not going to do it on your own. We need Jesus more today in America than I did when I first got saved in 1987. I hate to tell you, I'm not perfect. Don't follow my example. Follow his. Let's stand up and pray. Father, forgive us for calling alternate lifestyle a choice. The murder of the innocent a choice. To call an adultery okay. For being a bad example and not following you. To not standing for the values you set before us. For not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. Father, first I ask that you forgive me. Help me be a better light to those around me. Help me to be enlightened by your word, Father God. Help me to stand when everything's crumbling. Help this church be a light to Colorado Springs. Help this church to be a light in our homes, in our workplaces, Father. Father, I ask that you bless everybody in this room with the knowledge of Jesus and fill them with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.